Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Kahoot. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday this summer. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today. It will take you to all of the resources we mention. This episode is sponsored by Kahoot. Kahoot is a digital learning and engagement platform that is making learning awesome at school, work, and home. Through its unique game-based learning model, Kahoot engages learners of all ages and delivers a fun and meaningful learning experience. Users can create their own Kahoots for free or find high-quality content from publishers and users in just a few clicks. More than 9 million educators around the world use Kahoot to unlock the learning potential of their students, and hundreds of organizations, including 97% of Fortune 500 companies, use Kahoot to engage, connect, and train employees through unique game-based learning solutions. Today's episode is titled How to Make Learning Stick, and I am so excited to have Sean Darcy from Kahoot join today's episode. We talk about all things games and education, boosting engagement, setting up students for success, and all the new things happening at Kahoot. If you are a longtime lover of all things Kahoot, I know I have used it for many years, then you are really in for a treat for today's episode, because you're going to hear about all of these new features, all of these things that you can do during the back to school season. And if you have heard of Kahoot before but haven't used it, if you haven't heard of Kahoot before, then you're in the right place too, because we're going to go through all the things that make this an extra special tool, but more importantly, just the general best practices and considerations for using games in your classroom. Let's jump into today's conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today. But before we dive into this topic of making learning stick, would love to hear a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Thanks, Monica. My name is Sean Darcy. I head up the Kahoot at School and Home business areas here at Kahoot. Quick background, I'm Canadian, living in Norway now for last 15 years or so, worked in various roles in tech companies over the years, started up with Kahoot all the way back in 2017. And as you might know, Kahoot is one of the most widely known and used digital education tools out there. We had over 2 billion non-unique participants on Kahoot platform in the last 12 months and 8 billion since 2013. So that's a few people playing Kahoot. And we're really, I think, quite proud that we were actually recently ranked number 3 in the Learn Platforms 2022 report alongside our colleagues at Clever. I think they were number 6. So it's really just showcasing like how broadly we are used in US K-12 schools. So I'm not myself an educator, but you know, my job is really to support Kahoot's mission to make learning awesome. And what that means is really, supporting all the educators and admins out there with a really robust platform that can really help them level up student engagement and excitement around learning.
Well, I am definitely a super fan of Kahoot and have used it with students and with educators and in all different types of spaces and roles. So really excited to hear just about some of those numbers, which I mean, is hard to believe, but also I get it, right? When it comes to just the engagement piece. And, you know, today we're talking about making learning stick, using games, and the importance of teamwork. What are some of the ways that teachers can make learning stick? What are you seeing in classrooms or hearing from teachers?
Well, we were really curious to hear a bit more from educators before the school year started. And we ran a survey out there with 8,000. I didn't think we were going to get 8,000 respondents, but we had some good engagement there. We had 8,000 respondents from K-12 and higher ed, just basically trying to better understand their experience going back into the classroom. And really what they were telling us is approximately 6 out of 10 said that basically students have really struggled with the feeling of sort of a lack of control and are kind of like less motivated and less engaged than they were pre-pandemic. So that's not great, obviously. And, 7 in 10 said that their students are more focused during lessons when they can actually choose or be at least be involved in how that learning experience will take place or act out. So that's important. The last really important finding was 3 out of 4 all agreed that, teachers that, help their students with technology, the kids, of course, love engaging with technology, and that really helps improve their learning experience. So that really, I think, has set the tone for our back to school program, mm-hmm. really trying to put the student in the driver's seat of their learning this back to school.
Yeah, I mean, that's really fascinating data. And wow, 8,000 respondents is a lot, right? For a survey like that. It's a really nice size or sample size for hearing from educators and just hearing about what it is that they're seeing and what they're observing. And, I'm excited to think more about this idea of active and student-centered, playful learning. Where does technology come into play here? How can it facilitate these types of learning experiences?
Well, I think for most students out there, they are, they're technology natives. Technology is their first language. By defaulting to technology, then you're getting to their level immediately. So I think that's the great, place to start. And then sort of building upon that, I think what we see at least is technology really helps to enable creativity and expression and lateral thinking. A good example is, when using Kahoot, often some of our educators are asking their students to create their own Kahoots. And that's one of the themes this back to school is we're really encouraging that more because we really like that. And when a student or learner is actually creating a Kahoot, they have to do many different things. They have to, of course, research the topic. They have to consider the right answers and the wrong answers. And then they also have to do things like get in front of the classroom and communicate that out to the classroom, or potentially work in a team to actually create that, Kahoot and then present that out. So I think, they're just sort of immersed in technology and it really helps this sort of creativity, expression, communication, and confidence building as well, I think, if done well. And ultimately, we think it makes learning awesome and technology should really be a democratizer. It's not always mm-hmm. that way, mm-hmm. but it really, at least that, we're optimists and that's what we feel it should be. It should be a kind of a democratizer for kids. And, by doing that, of course, makes learning just more accessible.
Yeah. And just that idea, I appreciate your focus there on the student creation component of this too, right? So it's not a passive experience when students are participating and, being in a group, right? That I know from my own experience, the energy in the room, right? Of students who are participating and sharing, but for them to experience that, as a participant, for them to put on the facilitator hat is really special, right? To just create something of their own. And so I really like that emphasis that you place there on the options for implementation, because, if there's a teacher listening or an ed tech coach listening or a school leader listening who's used Kahoot a lot in the past, right? Who's experienced what it's like to facilitate those games in a classroom environment, like that might be the next level for them, right? That might be the next step is that creation piece.
Right. And just to sort of riff off of that, I think that if they have been making Kahoots over the years, then they know how it goes. And then if they did sort of pass the baton to the students, then they can spend a bit more time observing and, collecting some or facilitating the learning instead of actually standing in front of the classroom, which is, I think is maybe the more modern approach anyway.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it makes me think too, like I taught upper elementary school for a number of years, but we know that students of all ages have strong opinions, like on why did you choose that picture? Right.
Or yeah, sure.
I don't know about that. Right. And so just that idea that they are taking on that active role in so many different ways. I think that's really, you know, fantastic. And, you know, we know that students, you know, there are just lots of different games that they come across during the day, both inside the classroom and outside the classroom. You know, what features should an educator look for if they're evaluating a game and really want to make sure that it supports their goals around active learning?
That's very important. I think, you know, I mean, Kahoot is very deceiving because it seems like, you know, it's fun, but it's actually, it's backed by an absolute ton, like dozens of studies showing that it helps, you know, increase engagement, increase learning, increase communication, and reduce stress, reduce anxiety. Interestingly, you think, you know, with Kahoot itself, you would be more stressful because it's a game and all that. But yeah. Because it is a game, kids actually sort of relax because they're immersed in something that they like, which is to have fun and have a game. It is important, of course, to connect whatever you're doing in the classroom back to some, I think, research, making sure that it's well documented. Also, you know, in the case of our game, you know, we have a community, we have, you know, our verified educators who, you know, put the stamp of approval on, you know, millions of Kahoots out there. They make the Kahoots themselves and they are actually actively promoting them. I think it's some of the features in the game are also important. So not all games have this, but the ability to blend the, as we like to say, you know, we need to be able to blend content with the sort of review and quiz. So it's like having chocolate and dropping little bits of broccoli in it, you know, in between. But I think that's really important because it allows you to sort of slow up the game a little bit and maybe pause it for teachable moments, those kinds of things. So I think that those elements built into the game that allow that those moments to stop and so slow down a bit, I think are really important. Variety of formats, live or synchronous, different game modes. So team mode is really fun. So that builds different kinds of skills around, you know, communication and teamwork and those things. Also, continuity. I mean, it's a long list here, but like continuity, the ability to like not just be a one-off, but actually string several games together to actually like see if there's progression there and to actually retract and going to go back and see if there's something you need to go back over. And then backing all that up is really just like good assessment tools, you know, good reporting and just making sure that that's accessible to the educator, I think. So it's a long list, but I think, yeah, if you're going to play a game in the classroom, make sure it ticks off many of those boxes.
Yeah, those are all really great things to look at. And I know that, you know, when I'm talking to educators, sometimes they're coming in with formative assessment first on the mind,
right?
Sometimes they're coming in first about really making sure their blended learning stations are powerful, right? And that it's a good use of everyone's time. And, you know, so I think that when someone is looking at that game to bring into their classroom, all the things that you just mentioned are really crucial. They might not need all five things on a checklist, right? Yeah. But you know, but it's not, at least not that day, right? Like they might eventually need to look for that thing for this purpose. And so I'm so glad that you mentioned a few different things for considerations there. Just, you know, and I know that, you know, as we're thinking today about what it really means to make learning stick, right? There's that idea of having kids set up for success, right alongside any of those goals that you might have. So, you know, I'm curious, before we talk a little bit about, you know, some of the ways that Kahoot specifically can support active learning, and maybe this gets into the response to that question that I have for you. You know, I'd love to think a little bit about the teacher paced and students kind of working on their own, because I think that's something that can be a little intimidating for an educator who's kind of setting kids off on a game, right? And they're moving at their own pace and you don't know exactly what's going on. You know, what can that look like in a classroom?
We're just actually like sort of on the beginning of sort of documenting what that good looks like there. So there's not really a good playbook as of yet. I think by the end of this back to school, because we are now really actively trying to build some teacher resources around it, I think that we're going to have a better understanding. But every educator that's ever done it has basically just, you know, essentially said to the kids, hey, you know, either assign, did an assignment, yeah. Mm-hmm. Say, this is something like homework you can do at home or in a workstation or on your own time. So the kids basically just sit there and then they start to create their Kahoots. And then, you know, we have upgraded versions of Kahoot, mm-hmm. which have like, you know, lots of bells and whistles, or we have just the sort of the basic free version, which, you know, most people use. Mm-hmm. And that has, you know, for kids, it has quiz questions and those slide questions so they can actually build content. You could think of it as almost like the 21st century version of a book report, you know, like, you know, instead of just making static book report or something like that, this is actually something that's much more interactive because they can share that back with the rest of their peers. So that's what they do. They create these Kahoots. And then often they just invite the kids up to the front of the class to actually present. Or sometimes they don't do that. They just say, hey, like, share it with me and I'll mm-hmm. through it. And, you know, they look at them and that's also cool. Some of them actually just say, hey, take these home and play them with your parents mm-hmm. or your siblings, you know, your grandma, your grandpa. Yeah, everybody loves Kahoot, right? So like do that instead. So it doesn't necessarily need to be like a formal, you know, presentation at the mm-hmm. front of the classroom. It can just be the sharing of the actual creation that they made. That's the most important thing. So some of the stories we've heard is like, it's kind of, it catches on really quickly. So if, you know, one learner actually makes a Kahoot and shares that, often, you know, we have this one great example of one student in Tampa that made a Kahoot about, I think they were in grade 4 or 5, around the water cycle. And then it became, you know, the next one wanted to do something on, you know, weather systems in general. And then it kind of snowballed and like mm-hmm. the kids kind of like kept building upon that. They were just so curious and so excited about it that they just naturally wanted to make their own Kahoots and of course get up in front of the class and share that. So there's a lot of ground there, and we're just, again, we're still exploring this with the education community out there. And one of the reasons why we're so excited this back to school about, you know, just getting those stories in and learning from everyone's experiences.
Nice. And, you know, as you were talking there, just the options, right? The options that you have for making this fit your learning environment, the needs of your students. We've talked about audience a lot here on the podcast and giving an audience for student work and creation. So just that idea that that audience could be, right, a fourth grader jumping in front of the whole class and sharing this great thing that they made. Or maybe it's that sixth grader who's like, not today, right? Yeah. Passing along that link to their teacher or taking it home to a family member and say, like, let's play this after dinner. I made this today, right? Mm. Like, I just love that idea that there's a lot of options for making it work in different environments. So I can't wait to hear some of the more stories that come up, you know, this fall, because I'm sure people, you know, I know I get tagged in plenty of tweets with great stories that people are sharing when they're trying something out for the first time. So, you know, before we talk a little bit about the back to school season, right, this is going up for everyone in August. So people might be a few weeks in or a few weeks out, right in the middle of that back to school season. You know, tell us more about how Kahoot can support active learning. You've given some really great examples that I can just imagine what the buzz would look like in a classroom. Are there any other ways that Kahoot can support active learning that listeners might want to consider?
Yeah, I mean, so in addition to the Kahoot, you know, the Kahoot platform that most people know, we also have a whole slew of amazing learning apps for both reading, language, and also math, algebra. Most of these have been developed from, you know, pedagogues, didactics experts through our Dragonbox and Poyo Studio. Those are all available on the platform, and we're going to make them more accessible, I think, for students. So they've been sort of traditionally kind of more a sort of hidden behind a kind of school product that we've had. So now we want to actually turn that over to teachers and mm-hmm. offer something called student passes. Nice. Where they can actually just basically put up a QR code or a link, for example, in Google Classroom that they can click, and then they can actually access some of these apps and play, you know, they can learn to read or they can learn algebra or they can, you know, do these sorts of things on their own time, actually, or in a workstation kind of environment. So We're excited about that because we just haven't made that, we haven't really brought that forward in the classroom in the way that we're doing it now. So that's another way I think that's really going to be important this back to school. And then the other way is, I think, one that everyone will be very excited about. And so now I'm sort of digging into back to school deliveries. The game, we have some new game modes coming out, which are going to be, I think, a lot of fun. So what traditionally we've been doing kind of more teacher hosted games, you know, where the teacher would, you know, plays the game show host. Now we want to do some live asynchronous. So the ability to actually set up a game and then, you know, the kids themselves actually sort of run it. And we have a couple of games, three games coming up for back to school, which we were really excited about them. One of them is, it's called Color Kingdom. It's a team-based sort of capture the flag game. So imagine like a game within a game. So you have some questions, you have to answer them. By answering them, you get the ability to, like, you know, capture bits of territory on a map. And then eventually, you know, these two kingdoms are, you know, trying to take over each other. So it's going to be really competitive, I'm sure, and also just a lot of fun. So that's one game mode that we think that's going to create a lot of noise in the class. and the other one is Treasure Trove, which is more like a pirate themed game where you sort of collect different things for correct answers. And I think one of the things that people have always asked us over the years is, can you make a game mode that's more about accuracy versus just, you know, because we have this time element. We do have the ability to turn off the time, but this game mode is really built upon accuracy. So the, if you can answer the questions correctly, and if you get them wrong, go back over them to answer them correctly, then you get the ability to collect more of this sort of pirate treasure, if you will. And then, there, of course, there's a leaderboard and all of that stuff that goes along with that. So I think those two new, and there's another one coming as well. I'm not going to spoil it just yet. And then we are planning actually to make a few more this fall. So we're hoping to sort of, you know, build up a sort of library of these and continue and get feedback, of course, from the community and see what they like and want us to make. But this is sort of our first foray into this sort of live asynchronous or student-paced, learner-paced game mode, which I think is going to, you know, turn things over to the students a bit more than we've done previously. That's exciting.
That's really exciting. I love the idea of having some different formats. I know I work with, you know, a lot of educators who have maybe, you know, tried out Hoot before. It's in their tool belt. And so are always on the lookout for, you know, when their favorite tools have something new that they can try out and bring in, especially great if you've worked with kids where you might have routines for playing games already, or you might be in that mindset of, this is what it looks like in our classroom. And now you can almost like take it in a new direction using some of these different, I appreciate the layers there, I guess is what I'm getting at, with all the options for educators. So, you know, as we're heading back to school, you know, are there any other things teachers should know about, or is there maybe like one big thing they should put on their try it out wish list for, you know, using Kahoot this season?
We did we had this EDU summit. It's this event that we did back in June. I think we had over 40,000 registrants for that. And it's all, you know, it's on demand. So you can go on Kahoot.com and check it out. There's so much amazing stuff that we're going to bring to market this back to school. And so in addition to game modes and student passes, we have some new question types. So you're familiar with quiz. We actually have a bunch of different question types available on the platform. We have, personally, I'm a geography nerd. So we built this drop pin. So you can like basically drop a pin on a map, or it could be drop a pin on a diagram, or great for biology, for example. Mm-hmm. And we have the no points version of that available now, and we'll have the points version very soon. Then we have this slider, sort of more interactive version of a poll or that kind of thing. So those are also a lot of fun for people to try out. I think that we've done a Google Classroom integration, which we announced not so long ago. And I know Google's actually also promoting it a bit now, alongside some of the work we've done with Clever. That's a long time request. You know, people have been asking for this for a long time. So that gives educators the ability to just basically log into their Kahoot library inside of Google Classroom and then access their Kahoots right from Google Classroom, and also sort of assign those Kahoots if they want. So that's going to be very good to get that, to hear what they have to say about that. I think most importantly, we're not the most importantly, but certainly the most probably interesting for all of the educators out there, is we have something called Kahoot Marketplace, which actually we just released that for everybody a couple of days ago. And that's really exciting, because that is now going to give educators the ability not only make Kahoots, but also retail, actually sell their Kahoots and their Kahoot courses. So they can effectively build lessons with not only Kahoot, but also content, you know, videos, podcasts, et cetera, and bundle that all up and then sell that through the Kahoot platform, you know, starting from $3, I believe. So that's really exciting. And that, of course, more of that you can find out on Kahoot.com. And we're really eager to sort of help educators with that one as well from all around the world, not just the US.
Nice. Well, I will make sure to link out to, so anyone who's listening today, you can head over to the show notes page and find the links for all the things we're talking about here, the marketplace, the Google Classroom add-on, right? The replays from the big event this summer. But Sean, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about Kahoot?
Yeah, I mean, the best place is really just Kahoot.com. If you're already, if you have an account, you can log in. We do, we have, you know, live streams going on all the time, webinars. Also, of course, through our social channels, you know, the, you know, at Kahoot on Twitter, for example, plenty of different ways to get in touch with Kahoot and of course myself. So love to get your feedback and hear what you think.
Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Monica. Have a great back to school.
It was so much fun chatting with Sean for today's episode. So let's finish up this episode like we always do with some key points from today's conversation. Make learning stick with games. Try out different game modes. Turn students into creators and give students an audience for their games too. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this bonus episode of the Easy EdTech podcast by going to classtechtips.com/podcast. It'll include all of the ways to connect with the team at Kahoot and the links to all the resources we mentioned. A big thank you to Kahoot, our sponsor for today's episode. Kahoot is making learning awesome at school, at work, and at home by delivering fun, engaging, and meaningful learning experiences for learners of all ages. Don't forget to visit Kahoot.com, Kahoot.com/Monica Burns to get 25% discount on your Kahoot license today. This offer applies to new and existing Kahoot users and is limited to 200 listeners. So the first 200 listeners get on it for this special discount. To find out more about Kahoot, visit Kahoot.com or download the Kahoot app from your favorite app store. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, every new episode is going to download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. You can tap on the stars on the podcast platform you're listening and leave a review if you feel called to do it today. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.